welcome to this week's podcast of Glimmers in the Fog. Today's topic is about acknowledging our brokenness, our difficult stories, and then allowing our loving Father to heal them and transform them for His glory. Of course, to allow God to heal our most shattered places, our greatest disappointments, and our deepest wounds means we need to start with belief. Belief that He not only can, but that His intention for allowing them to happen in the first place has a holy purpose. For many of us, we may believe that God can heal our broken places. Still, we've gotten so used to focusing on the pain and heartache associated with them that we struggle to believe that they could ever be truly healed, much less transformed into something outright beautiful. And most of us cope with brokenness and disappointment by either stuffing it down deep inside in a dark, forgotten corner of our lives, or fixating on it until it becomes a constant source of bitterness or anger. While all these reactions and coping mechanisms are natural, they are not holy. Jesus tells us that He has already overcome anything, absolutely anything the world can dish out at us. He promises hope and peace in every suffering or pain. If you want to be encouraged that everything broken can be made beautiful in God's time and by His power, then I invite you to join me now as we explore the unending love of God and its power to transform anything for His glory. It seemed like the day would never come, but on Friday, I finally unpacked the last moving box. Okay, so there are a few boxes that I'm not ever going to unpack. You know the ones. They're loaded down with cheesy grammar school photos and homespun mementos of summer camping trips. But when it comes to the boxes that should be unpacked, I'm all done. I even emptied a few that I had marked for deep storage, which made me feel especially proud of myself. And just as I was reveling in the thought of being completely settled and patting myself on the back for small victories, it hit me how much I had forgotten by storing away dozens of years of my life in the attic. Pawing through all the layers of memories, I was amazed at how quickly and easily my mind returned to another time. I could see vivid details of my old neighborhood streets and could almost smell the pungent boughs of a Christmas tree framed in the early morning light. Most of the stories that resurfaced were good ones, but a few made me wish that I hadn't opened a particular box. And it was then that I suddenly felt washed in a blanket of mercy. Thank goodness God allows us, and I think sometimes He makes us, forget certain things or experiences until we're ready, until He's prepared us to unpack them again. In His endless mercy and wisdom, He knows that some stories can't bear to be retold until the road sense stretches far enough for wounds to be healed and our hindsight is clear enough to bring appreciation and understanding. One of my favorite Bible verses is Ecclesiastes 3:11, which begins with, "He makes everything beautiful in its time." It's a surprisingly hopeful statement for a book that is largely a downer, comparatively speaking, to the rest of Scripture. And although I have this verse written on a chalkboard in my office, I had never really thought to apply it to my past. Instead, I've been using it as a reminder to be patient while I wait on the Lord to open doors. The verse reassures me that waiting on God without grumbling or jumping the gun is rewarded because our Father never does anything half-heartedly or at the wrong time. Yet as I sat there, surrounded by mostly silly junk and some 80s photos with my hair teased high enough to reach the ceiling fan, the Holy Spirit brought this scripture to me in a fresh way, along with the rest of the verse, which concludes with, quote, "Also, He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end," unquote. So true to the rest of the theme of Ecclesiastes, one of the most beautiful lines is followed by a frustrating letdown. it makes me smile because it's like Solomon, the author, is giving the reader this cheeky grin and saying with great sarcasm, have faith, because everything God does is amazing. Even the stuff you think is the most horrible or difficult, he'll make it all come out in the wash and adorn you in the finest garment you can imagine. You're going to look fabulous, simply radiant and whole in his presence. But before you get too excited, just know that between now and then, you're not going to have a clue what he's doing or why he's doing it. And for the remainder of that passage, Solomon reminds us that God is going to do what he's going to do. He then goes on to advise us to accept the Lord's sovereignty and just move on with life. And while Solomon's words ring true, as only a pessimistic statement can, we know that God doesn't leave us comfortless in our seasons of waiting, questioning, hurting, and emptiness. While we may not be able to discern why he's doing something or why he allowed a bad story to be written in the first place, he does pour out new mercies for us each morning of our lives. That means every day of our lives, not just the days you feel hopeful, happy, or whole. Lamentations 3:22-23 is also one of my favorite passages, and as I pair it up with the verse from Ecclesiastes, the picture of God's love is complete, extravagant even. Most versions of the Lamentations passage include the phrase, "His mercies are new every morning." But the Message translation fits with Ecclesiastes 3:11 like two beautiful puzzle pieces, so snugly aligned that it is hard to separate them. It reads, quote, "God's loyal love could not have run out. His merciful love could not have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great is your faithfulness. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left," unquote. So in the two different verses, we hear from people who are at the end of their ropes, Solomon and his father David. They're miserable. They both endured great hardship, but they also had seasons of great luxury, completely saturated with every pleasure the world has to offer. They both reaffirm their conviction that God is in control of everything, and he loves his people enough to take care of everything in his way and in his time. Both authors assure us that during the dry times, it may seem or feel as though he's left, but his faithfulness will prove itself over and over. As I traced the outline of faded photos and the edges of old diaries, I recalled how many situations seemed so tragic, so unredeemable at the time. From that vantage point, and with only the experiences of a kid or young adult, the roots of my faith were not as strong as they are today. Of course, I'm not planning to decorate our house with tacky childhood artwork and faded trinkets, and I surely don't want to spend time rereading those diaries adorned with glitter hearts and pink butterflies. But I have found a new appreciation for the stories I had intentionally banished to the dark corners of our previous home's attic. That's because from where I sit now, I can see God's hand in almost every one of them. He did use them. He did redeem them. He did make me whole again. One relic from my childhood is extra special. It has made it to a prominent position in our home and is on permanent display. However, it is not the original item's significance or even its physical appearance that makes it worthy to come out of deep storage. I cherish it because of its brokenness. Originally, it was a simple, average commemorative baby plate with my name and birthday painted on it. But almost 20 years ago, it was accidentally dropped and shattered in about a dozen pieces. The person who broke it had hurt me in so many other ways that I seemed to transpose much of my disappointment and pain onto those shattered pieces. They were symbolic of my suffering, some of which I had brought on myself after a few years of very bad decisions. And looking at those small blue and white china pieces was almost like looking at my own heart and soul. At that time, I wasn't walking close to Jesus. Despite all of that, I couldn't bring myself to throw away the broken plate. There was some pull inside of me, perhaps just poetic romanticism, or maybe something deeper and spiritual in nature that made me believe it could somehow be fixed. I wanted my life to be fixed too, but I had no idea how God could ever bring healing at that point. Fast forward a decade later, and God has made everything beautiful in His time. My husband's sweet grandmother had a talent for creating mosaics from broken ceramics and old china pieces. And before she passed away, she lovingly made something completely new out of my broken treasure. With her help, it became whole again and far more resilient than ever before. And with true poetic romanticism, it sits in a place of honor it never would have if it hadn't been broken in the first place. I'm sure you know where this analogy is going, don't you? Like the plate commemorating my birth into this world, Jesus had also lovingly brought rebirth to my heart and soul. Just as Grandma Ann gave new life and value to a cheap souvenir, God redeemed my life and restored hope to my wounded heart. Since the plate broke and Grandma turned the meaningless pieces into a new work of art more than 10 years ago, I never realized until this week that such a beautiful story was sitting on my bedroom dresser. I've had a lot of readers and listeners ask me how I come up with ideas and stories for Glimmers in the Fog, and I think today's message is a perfect example to share. So here's how the idea came to me. For some strange reason, a few days ago, I found myself staring at the plate while putting on my earrings, and I was reminded of what a precious treasure it is because of who put it back together. That thought lingered for the rest of the day, making me smile when other things weren't going smoothly. And then yesterday at lunchtime, I was outside squeezing in a much-needed power walk and asking God what He wanted me to write about this week. And as I struggled to tune my ears to Him and not my endless to-do list, I suddenly had a thought. Some stories shouldn't be unpacked too soon. They need time to mature and mellow before they are opened up and experienced again. Just as fine wine needs many years on a shelf before it can be appreciated, so God sometimes intentionally keeps things obscured from us until we're prepared to see them properly. We just have to trust Him and not our own logic or assumptions. Even more amazing, today is the anniversary of Grandma's passing, which wasn't even on the forefront of my mind while I marveled at her work. My husband texted me this morning to remind me when I told him what I was writing about. I know that some people would say it's merely coincidence, but because I believe God is the source of all things creative, all things beautiful, and He does love a good story, there's no doubt in my mind that He authored this poetic ending on purpose. It is the same truth expressed in Hebrews 11, which says, quote, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen," unquote. God loves us more than we can fathom or imagine, no matter what our perceptions and senses tell us. And He does make all things beautiful in His time. What an incredible reminder that no story God authors ever ends in brokenness. And the good news? All our stories can be turned over to the greatest editor of all time. One of the hardest aspects of healing from brokenness is the amount of time it takes. The Bible calls this process sanctification. It's a big word, but it simply means the process of becoming holy or set apart, or more like Jesus. Our life here on earth is all about our sanctification so that we become more and more useful to God and prepared for an eternity in His presence. Nothing that happens to us here on earth is void of purpose or opportunity. Jesus gave his life to assure us of that timeless and powerful truth. He is the culmination of God's story for all humans, and you are no exception. You are not excluded from God's healing love and redemption, every part of you and every circumstance of your life. I want to encourage you, my friend, on this journey of faith to not stop at the end of this message today. Please allow the Holy Spirit to do great work in your heart, searching out the corners and your soul for brokenness still waiting to be made beautiful. He can and will do it for you. And if you'd like a partner this week to help you explore this further, I have a free 5-day devotional waiting for you on my blog. Just scroll down to the bottom of this post to see it. And if the name of someone popped in your mind while you were listening today, please don't hesitate to obey the Holy Spirit and share this message with them. You can also encourage other believers by adding your comments and words of encouragement. And lastly, the more of you who become subscribers to this podcast or my email list, the more likely this is to be found by people searching the web for a message of hope. Thank you for listening to Glimmers in the Fog today. I look forward to being with you again next week.